time up in the morning.
In the evening, on monitor. We back on the case. One final hour to go. Exciting show. Oh, I got some real surprises for you this hour. Look, Isaac Hayes. Doing what's made him famous, setting fire to liquor stores. Take a store, Isaac. Take your chains off, Eddie Clown.
Hey, guy, want to get the King Kong hair straightener?
On monitor. That old funky Bette Miller. Oh, no nasty Bette Miller. Old saying boogie boogie bugle boy. After the hour, all over America, my mime is in the morning and the evening on monitor. Before we present, the Reverend Billy Saul Hargis showed up again in the studio with the Holy Land USA Choir and Chorus, and they would like to sing for you a selection entitled, "Oh Billy Saul, Won't You Please Heal Us All?" First, I think it's important that, along with all the silliness and fun and humor on IMSA Monitor, that I present some kind of serious issue and discuss that. And, you know, all over America, there's problems with these trigger-happy narcs breaking down people's doors and beating up on them and stuff. And we have the same problem here in New York, and I have a piece here in what you could describe as an IMSA Monitor editorial entitled Off-Duty Arrests. And it concerns a problem we have here in New York City. There's been an alarming increase in the number of police officers making arrests while off duty. According to an unnamed police official, this unorthodox and confusing practice must stop. First of all, most criminals involved in a crime, at least in New York City, are proficient enough at their trade to conduct their crime with speed and professionalism. Their only concern being an on-duty police officer, easily recognized in his traditional police uniform. Many criminals find working in full view of the average citizen dressed in his traditional civilian clothing a minor hazard of the trade. Most agree there is little, if any, interruption by these traditional average citizens. However, when you introduce an off-duty police officer dressed in traditional clothes that an average person would wear, you generally find that the crime in progress is reduced to a state of chaos and confusion. The off-duty officer seldom has time to properly identify himself. The victim assumes he's now being doubly attacked, and the criminal usually figures he's got some Dick Tracy nut from Arizona on his hands. The result is often embarrassment for all. The solution, according to police officials here in New York, is as follows. Since many movies are filmed in the actual streets of New York, should you, as a private citizen or an off-duty police officer, chance upon what appears on the surface to be a robbery or a mugging, do not interfere and ruin the movie shooting. Rather, stay well to one side of the action until it is played completely out. Then, if you wish, you may applaud.
Hello, this is the president. And I just want to say that those boys at NBC are doing a fine, fine job.
I'm up in the morning.
Wherever you are, Dr. Hargis wants you to put your hands on the radio. Billy Saul gonna hear ya.
Dr. Billy Saul Hargis and the Holy Land USA Choir and Chorus might point out to you that that is on the flip side of Son of Checkers, which you can get
You can get two hits for one, man, for 89 cents, or whatever your local little old funky record store sells it for. I'm Imus in the morning, in the evening, on Monday. About 3 minutes from now, I got Jim Bowden, and he cleaned up and sobered up and get the raincoat off of him. You stay right where you are, man, on the Monitor Beacon.
You didn't really write it.
You know I didn't really write it.
Did you?
I could have written it.
I had the research material.
One piece?
Yeah.
And your book cost $7.95. It's published by Playboy Press. It's a really good book. It's called Man is Good, But Boy Did They Play Bad. And it's written and edited by Jim Bowden with ex-newspaper man Neil Offen. The serious book is that it's just another attempt at casting him.
It is. It's basically an anthology. It's got steps to my music plan. It's not easy.
The book is about managers, it's about baseball managers.
Yes.
And it's stories that other people have written, and you put them all together, and you wrote some stuff, too.
I wrote a whole lot of brilliant comments about each article, put them together in a very timely fashion, wrote an introduction and sonnet site, and he wrote it a very irreverent, incisive, wonderful book about baseball managers, including 80 pictures that you just won't believe with captions written.
Shut up, Jim.
I love baseball. I still love it. In fact, I play ball for the starring, as a matter of fact, for the Phoenix Blues in the Metropolitan League. That's another story. But I really like the game. I had a lot of fun when I was a ball player. And, I can just remember getting on the bus and just laughing from the time we left the hotel to the time we got to the ballpark. And I enjoyed sitting around the bullpen and the dugouts. And it was fun being a jock. I mean, really glad. There was a lot of good army type humor, you know, because of the boredom and the tension and the alternating periods of one and the other. I do a lot of humor, a lot of silly stuff, and I was in on all of it. I enjoyed it. I was part of it. And I thought it was great. And I thought that holes in it out and show people what it was like, so they could get in the fun too. You know, I wasn't trying to stop anybody or stop the game of baseball or anything else. But
you guys work in the home?
Huh?
What are baseball players talking about?
And 64, I beat the Cardinals twice.
Oh, is that, I mean, being serious, that's kind of, must be quite a thrill to do.
It is. Looking back on my life, now that I'm about to die.
Now that it's over, yeah.
Right. I'd say that's probably the most exciting thing that ever happened to me. There's going to be some people out there with hurt feelings, but it was really exciting to sit on the bench and just say, hey, I'm in the World Series. To sit there in the uniform and
I don't want any kind of joke now. Because this is ridiculous. Now, Don Drysdale was always one of my favorite baseball players. In fact, I remember that game.
When he came up with the bases loaded, two outs, and I don't know why I didn't do it. I was thinking of tipping the catcher's glove with my bat, so there's no way I can hit Drysdale, you know, because he threw the ball so damn hard and it rose up and in, and I couldn't hit it if it was flat out over the plate, so I knew I wasn't going to hit him, but I thought if I could reach back and tip the catcher's glove with my bat, it would be an interference and I'd get first base, you know. But,
I don't remember that, Jim.
Yeah, no, that happened. About the sixth inning.
What are your plans now?
Well, I'm
going to cast it all in, you know, to Arizona and get to whatever it is.
Well, I'm working on my knuckleball in the Metropolitan League, and if that thing comes around, you never can tell. A lot of ball clubs that need an extra pitcher.
That is true. Well, the Wood seems to win every game he pitches.
There's very few guys can throw the knuckleball because it's an extremely difficult pitch to learn. It takes a certain kind of feel in your fingers, and you have to sort of practice it all your life. You just can't pick it up and learn it overnight. Whitey Ford was able to learn pitches in a matter of days, and he learned every pitch that you could learn. I mean, I've seen guys come up to him and say, Whitey, here's how I throw my screwball, and Whitey would pick it up in just a matter of seconds, but a knuckleball he wasn't able to get after working on it for months. And it really is a difficult pitch. You have to almost grow up with it. I started throwing it when I was 13 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a spirit. This is no, it's going to sound like a funny story here.
Yeah, kind of a change for that.
I remember looking in the back of the cereal box, and there was a picture of Dutch Leonard and a picture explaining how he held his knuckleball, and I was about 10 years old, or 11 or 12 or something like that, and I said, oh, let's try to learn that pitch, and I ran out in the backyard, and the idea is to throw the ball without any spin on it so that the air currents hit the laces and make it jump around. And I'd play catch with my brother all day long, and not one of them would jump around. They were all spinning. I couldn't throw it still. You know, my fingers would brush against it or something. I could fall through on it right or something. Then one day I accidentally let it go the right way. Went through the air with no spin. Took four jumps in the air like it was hitting some piece of invisible plastic in the air or something. And finally took one glancing leap and hit my brother right in the knee. I mean, and his glove was up by his chest, and the ball broke down, hit him right in the knee. And the minute it hit him in the knee, I knew that that was the pitch I had to have. I was thrilled with it. He was lying on the ground in agony, and I ran over and I said, "It's broken, it's broken." And I broke the knee with my knuckleball. And from there on in, I was totally entranced with the pitch.
You ever throw a football? The guys do that out in some
fashion. That's illegal, man.
I know, it's illegal. Well, everything is illegal. It's a book out of it, illegal.
I tried throwing the spitball, but you have to throw still pretty hard to throw the spitball, and for some reason I've never been able to answer the pitch.
I'm frankly in love with you, Jim, and I'd like to just close this interview and go someplace to a motel and talk about baseball. Well, if you've been throwing the spitball, I mean the knuckleball since you were 13, and what do you have to do now to get with the major league team again?
Well, we have to get a new commissioner because he won't let me get it back in baseball.
Is Walter Kennedy still a guy now?
No, that's basketball now.
Oh, yeah.
Bowie Kim.
Oh, yeah, he's still in, right?
I need a whole new identity. You know, I have to come up under an assumed name or something like that. I'm talking crazy. What am I talking about? I can't go back into pro ball. That's like one of my day dreams.
I got an operation from Los Angeles. We got Jim Bowden. Jim, I'm sick of you. I don't talk to you anymore. Jim has a new book out, and it's called I Manage Good, But They Played Worse. No, I Manage Good, But Boy, Did They Play Bad. Is that the right title?
That's it, Tom. It's really good.
It's Playboy Press, and it's a thick book. It has over 700 pages for folks sitting around a fire at night trying to get the lamp to work. Save up $7.95, and you can buy it any place. Jim, I appreciate you taking time to come up here. Is there any final thing you want to say? You can have a closing shot.
Let me see.
Thanks.
I'm up in the morning.
Is that a dummy, huh? What? Third grade. That's it. Wouldn't shave. They kicked him out of school. Idiot.
Jim Bounsick does Jim is on a local television station here in New York and does sports, which is a treat. Sick me. Just sick me. It's a good book, though. It's because Tom didn't write a lot of it, you know what I mean? And if you like stories about baseball managers who are perverted, you want to get the book. It's entitled I Manage Good, But Boy, Did They Play Bad by Jim Bowden. A lot of surprises upcoming on I Missed on Monitor. Don't forget you can write me here. I Missed, IMUS, NBC New York. Send you a picture, bumper sticker. Tell you where you can buy my record. Two albums, a single. Got a new album coming out in August. I Missed in the Morning, live at the Bitter End. The nightclub here in New York. You want to get that one? That'll include a long version of Son of Checkers. Got a book coming out in January. Harriet here with me tonight. I'm going to be sending her all over America sometime in the fall. On this next half hour, we're going to have Crazy Bob and Chet Huntley. And maybe Hi from Hollywood. And then maybe not. I may not do anything. I may go blow my nose and throw up. I think I'll throw up.
In the morning.